Good morning and welcome to First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, Unitarian Universalist. We are welcoming Unitarian Universalist congregation. My name is Helen Jones and I am the clerk for the Board of Trustees. We want to tell you that child care is available during the service in the nursery in the lower level of Fellowship Hall. You can go through here and down the stairs through the connector building and then take the elevator. If you're not sure to go where to go, just ask one of the ushers. Everybody is likewise invited to coffee hour in the Fellowship Hall. Take the same pathway or follow the crowd. So if it's your first time, we would be very happy to have you sign one of our guest books. There's one in the lobby here, and then at the visitor table in the Fellowship Hall, you'll see it there. So if it's your first time, be sure to do this, and we can put you on a mailing list if you like.
Good morning. I don't know you. You don't know me. And I'm just going to assume that you don't know anybody else here. And I'm going to ask you to stand and to turn and to greet those who have joined with us for worship. And make sure you shake hands with at least one person you don't know well. Besides me. All right? That'd be too easy. All right? So let's turn and greet each other. For courage, for strength, for feet on the ground, for our reality check in surreal times, for closeness, for the beauty of friendly companionships, for the sharing of stories, for the lifting up of goodness, for grieving loss, for acknowledging the tragic, for celebrating the heroic, to marvel at the intensity of this human drama and our role in it, because we can, because we need to, because it pleases the God of love and creation that we do, so do we gather this day. Good morning again. So I am Reverend Hank Purse, and I am very pleased to be with all of you here this morning. I'm especially pleased because I will be coming back for the months of February and March, actually a little bit of January as well, and I'll be leading worship with all of you during that time while Tom is on sabbatical and getting ready for his triumphant return and then retirement. But it is a great joy for me to be with all of you here this morning. Now, you know, it's always difficult being the visiting minister, and then two right in a row. You'd think I would have learned because it was so short a time ago. Anyway, Jolene will light our chalice. And I will read these words. We shall saunter towards the Holy Land till one day the sun shall shine more brightly than ever it has done, shall perchance shine into our minds and our hearts and light up our whole lives with a great awakening light. Would you join me in singing our first hymn? Our first hymn you're going to find in the teal hymnal. It's number 1046, Shall We Gather at the River End? Now, remember this, that this hymn is asking a question. Shall we gather at the river? And your response is yes. And you need to really punch it. You might even want to like act like a pirate and go, yes, we'll gather at the river. So just remember that when that part comes around in the chorus. But please, at this point, please rise as you are able and join in singing.
Here we go, ready?
Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silvery spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. A little softer this verse. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver, will provide our robe and the crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with a melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. And would you please remain standing and join in reading the covenant and then the singing of the affirmation. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. From all that dwells below the skies, let songs of hope and peace arise. Let joyful songs of praise be sung through every land by every tongue. Thank you, and please be seated. Now it is a time for the offering. May the gifts collected be transformed into strength for this faith community, into comfort, food, and shelter for those in need, and may all of us be transformed by our generosity. The offering will now be given and joyfully received. The reading this morning comes from the Christian scriptures. It is Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone's evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of it all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So ends our reading. Would you please rise and join in singing our next hymn? It is number 159 in the Silver and Gray Hymnals. 159, This Is My Song. Please rise as you are able. Thank you, and please be seated. I lied to the Dalai Lama. I didn't mean to do it. I wasn't planning on lying to the Dalai Lama. It just kind of happened. I was trying to be hospitable. You see, a number of years ago, I was serving as the minister of the church in Medford, Massachusetts, and a group of Tibetan Buddhists from Cambridge came, and they bought the old Magoon Manor nursing home, and they transformed it into a temple. And the fellow who was the head monk had actually grown up in Tibet and then later in India with the Dalai Lama. So a year and a half after first purchasing the building, the Dalai Lama was coming to Boston, and they were able to finagle for him to come and take part in this opening event. And it was just a glorious day. It was actually very much like today. It was an October day, sunny and a little warm. And every person of Tibetan background in New England, I think, was there. And there were people singing and a dancing troupe. And it was just this fantastic day. And I looked around and the neighbors were out and they were smiling. And even like the neighborhood kids had like a little lemonade stand set up. And it was great. And I thought, man, this is so different than the meeting I went to a couple of weeks beforehand to inform the neighbors about what was going to happen and all this, where people were not happy at all. There was a woman who felt that that she was worried that the Dalai Lama's followers were going to trample her flowers. And then there was another fellow who was upset because he said, like, I need to get out of my driveway in my car to go pick up my grandson from school. And then there was this guy and a detective from the police department who were going at it. And, they were angry. They were expressing some very un-Buddhist opinions at a very un-Buddhist volume. And they seemed to have had a history. And they were really going at it. And I leaned over to the woman who was the director of the temple and I said, why is this detective here? She said, well, the police have to, come and inform people. I said, no. Why is this detective here? And she said, oh, well, he was chosen out of all the other, leaders at the police station because he was really into kung fu. Now, this made no sense to me at all, but, like, I just saw, and people were going at it, and people were sniping each other and cutting each other off, and I wanted, like, there's a part of me that really wanted just to stand up and sort of say, like, lump it. Like, the Dalai Lama's coming. Just, like, but then I thought, you know what? That's not what needs to happen. I looked at the folks who were there who were so upset, and I realized, like, what needed to happen was that I needed to sort of put it all in sort of a cultural context. This is a very working-class Italian community. And so I stood up, and I said, this is a great honor. We get to welcome this man who is, he's sort of like the Buddhist Pope. Now, it's not necessarily true. Tibetan Buddhism is a very small branch of in the world of Buddhism. It's sort of like the Croatian Orthodox Church. You know, it's this very small little branch. But like when I said he was the Buddhist Pope, you could see lights go on over everyone's head. They went, oh, now we understand it. They were like, oh, this is a great honor for us to welcome the Dalai Lama, have him come to our street. What? My grandson doesn't need to go to school that day. We'll all be here. Who cares about my flowers? It was this great moment. It was this moment when you realize that people really wanted to be welcoming. People really wanted to be hospitable to the stranger. That's what the word hospitality means. It means love of the stranger. And it is something that is so needed in this world right now, isn't it? To love the stranger. And it's something that we get to have as people of faith. You get to have strangers walk in here and you get to present them with a gift of community. What a great thing. Something that is so lacking in our world today. You know, that's what Paul was trying to reinforce in his letter to that ancient Christian community in Rome. Right? Now, you never get this, really, we don't get to see what Paul was responding to, what the letters were like to him, but you can see that he is he's trying to fill them in about how to be Christians. These are folks who were in Rome. They probably very few of them knew Judaism, really knew anything of this tradition. So he's coming in and he's trying to answer them about how to be a welcoming community. Because, you know, when we talk about hospitality in our churches, what do we mean? Like, you're signed up to do hospitality next week. That means you've got to bring cookies, and then you've got to bring coffee. Hospitality is just about coffee hour, not necessarily about welcoming folks in, right? And you can tell that these folks in that ancient city of Italy were trying to figure out, like, how should they be? Should they be aloof? You know, the mystery religions were really big at that point in the ancient world, and so like they say, like, should we be aloof? Should we be like those kids who dress all in black at high school and seem kind of cool? Is that how we should be? And Paul's saying, no, you keep being welcoming, welcome people in, because that's the way, like, it's tough. It's you come to church and you For those of you who didn't grow up in this church, like, think about the first time you ever came here, right? And you walked in, you came, and you were wondering, like, will we have to stand a lot? I see these foots. Are these kneelers? Are they footstools? Will I kneel? Is it, like, is the temperature in here, like, is it chilly in here for a religious reason? Or are they just cheap? You know, all these sort of things that you wonder when you first come to some place, right? And new people come in. After a while, you get in here, you get on committees, you do things, and new people come in, and you want to share, like, the special community that you have with them. But you also don't want to be, you don't want to seem desperate, right? But you see someone, you kind of go, this person, they're a fundraiser. Let's get them on the stewardship committee. Let's get them in now, right? But you don't want to, you know, so it's all that struggle that goes on. Like, how welcoming should we be? And that's sort of what I was thinking of when I ended up lying to the Dalai Lama. You see, a week before he came, some friends said, well, you are representing all of the religious communities in Medford. Are you going to give him a gift? And I said, no, they would have told me if I was supposed to give him a gift, they would have told me. But then it started to percolate in my head that maybe I should get him a gift. So I thought, you know, I'm going to call the woman who's the director. So I called, and she wasn't there, so I spoke to her husband, and he said, no. If you were a Buddhist, you could give him, this white scarf, and he would, you know, bless it and return it to you. But, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You know, he's a simple monk. If you want to get him a gift, you can get him some, like, woolly socks. But they have to be, like, saffron. You have to be, like, you know, orange or sort of a maroon. And I was like, right, okay. You know, and I hung up, thank you very much, haha, thank you, hung up the phone. And I thought, like, okay, I have to get him a gift. And also, it can't be woolly socks, because if that guy thought of woolly socks, everyone thinks of woolly socks. I need, you know, so I sent an email out to all my friends, like, hey, what do I get the guy who has nothing, you know? And everybody's, you know, responding with jokes, but nothing like comes. So, all right. So, like, on the night before, I think to myself, like, if, you know, I've got no gift. If Jesus had wanted me to give the Dalai Lama a gift, Jesus would have, you know, given a gift to me, you know? And so the next morning I get up, I get dressed, I walk over to the temple, and as I'm walking up, I hear my name, and I look over, and it's my buddy Andrew, who lives over in Framingham. And my buddy from Lodge is there, and he's like, so I wave, I'm like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm here because he's the Dalai Lama. I'm like, oh, right, of course. And he said, hey, did you end up getting him a gift? And I said, no, it's all right. You know, it's no problem. He goes, no, look, I stopped. I'm going to drive out here. I stopped at Kmart, and I got this hat. And he pulls from his pocket, like, this orange knit cap. Like, my wife's Canadian, so she would call it a toque. But, you know, like a little knit cap. And I was like, oh, that's great. And I stuff it in my pocket. Don't think about it. I go into the temple, and I'm waiting, and, you know, and I'm practicing my little welcoming speech, you know, to him, and then, like, the limos pull up, and, like, all this people outside, and people cheering, and it's very exciting, and all of a sudden, the Dalai Lama walks in the door, and the little welcoming speech I had in my mind just goes blank, because all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, it's the Dalai Lama, right? And he comes in, and he starts going down the line of like, important people, and he meets the mayor and his wife, and he meets, like, the kung fu loving cop, right? And then he comes to me, and I'm like, oh, my, so on behalf of all the religious communities, blah, 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 welcome, and I finished my little speech, and just that split second right before he turned, I thought, hat, right? Oh, and I went, oh, and here's this hat. And then I realized that I look like an idiot. I'm like, have this hat. Like, he just dropped it or something. I was like, oh. And then I thought to myself, you know, all the children in my church, they know how much you travel, and they were worried that you might catch cold, so they wanted me to give this hat. Now I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm thinking on my feet. All right. Like, that was good, right? And he puts it on. His photo's taken. He looks like a little, like, Tibetan gnome, you know? And then he leaves. And like, later on in the day, I'm home, and my wife is there. And she said, how was it? I tell her. And I said, oh, yeah. And then I give him the hat. And I said this thing. And she went, what? You lied to the Dalai Lama? Up until that point, I hadn't really thought that I had lied to the Dalai Lama. But at that point, I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, actually, a few days later, I ended up calling a friend of mine who's a Buddhist monk and a Unitarian minister. And I said to him, I told him the story, and he laughed. He said, Hank, don't worry. Buddhists understand situational ethics. It's all right. You're okay. I was trying a little too hard to be hospitable, but I was trying. St. Paul said that we should accept one another in our diversity, because God has accepted us in our diversity. And And Paul said that we should, you know, that the it's in speaking to that church in Rome, that they should not be out of step with what was going on in the culture. A culture that really honored hospitality. How far we've gone, how far we've come. We want to build walls. We don't want to let people in need of us anywhere near us. We are not killing our enemies with kindness. Someone once said, we come into our full humanity only in relationships with others. And for us not to be hospitable is morally equivalent of not feeding the hungry. There has to be a welcoming culture in church, in our communities, in the world around us. The great Unitarian theologian James Luther Adams said that church is a place where we get to practice being human. Right? So this is a place for us and for all of you to practice being welcoming, being hospitable to those who are coming here. We forget sometimes that we have our own good news to share, different from other religious communities, different from other communities in general. At the end of that day, after I met the Dalai Lama, before I went home, and after all the folks had eaten and the Dalai Lama had left, and I was there, and I was talking to the director, and I thanked her for inviting me. I said, "This, what a great honor." She said, "No, thank you." She said, "You know, we knew the Dalai Lama would eventually come to America, and we could get him to come and open this, and we thought, you know, we would just have a small little private ceremony for just the members of the temple. But, you know, you came, and you invited us to come to the interfaith clergy group in the city. We met the mayor, and you opened up the city to us. So thank you." And at that moment, I thought of all the people who up until that point had been hospitable. It was the neighbors and their lemonade-selling kids. And my buddy Andrew. And the Buddhists who had welcomed all of our community in. And I realized at that moment that it was a great honor to meet the Dalai Lama, but it was an even greater honor to have this little expression of hospitality that I shared come really to have a chance to see how that hospitality gets echoed around a community, how it gets turned back out and turned back in. And that the love that we have of community, the gift of community that we have, of how that gets shared around a community. And not just kept in the four walls of a temple or a church or a synagogue. In the end, the greatest gift was learning more about hospitality. So may it be. Our final hymn, you'll find in your silver and gray hymnals, number 121, "We'll Build a Land." Please rise as you are able. Sorry.
Where peace is born. Come build a land where sin and brothers, anointed by God, may then create peace, for justice shall roll down like waters, and peace like an ever-flowing stream. Building a land, building up ancient cities, raising up devastations from mold, restoring ruins of generations. Oh, we'll build a land of people so bold. Come build a land where sisters and brothers, anointed by God, may then create peace, where justice shall roll down like waters, and peace like an ever-flowing stream. Come, build a land where the mantles of praises sound from spirits once faint and once weak, where like oaks of righteousness stand her people. Oh, come build a land, my people we seek. Come build a land where sisters and brothers, anointed by God, may then create peace, where justice shall roll down like waters, and peace like an ever flowing stream.
Go out into the highways and byways. Give the people something of your new vision. You may possess a small light, but share it. Use it in order to bring more light and understanding to the hearts and minds of men and women. Give them not hell, but hope and courage. Preach the kindness and everlasting love of God. Our worship is over. Our service begins. Amen.
Till we meet.